When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
All right, you guys know that I enjoy MMA. I've been to UFC fights here. I've been to UFC fights in Las Vegas. You know that I enjoy boxing as well. Literally was just in Vegas a week ago for the Morrell Jr. Benavidez fight at T-Mobile. Well, this coming weekend at Canterbury Park, their event center, Ignite Fights. They've got an MMA card that's going to crush it. I'm going to be in attendance. I hope to be in attendance on Saturday. But joining us now from Ignite Fights is Jeremy Bjornberg. And one fighter that's going to be part of the card this Saturday night, his name is Ozzie Judge. He's one of the co-main events. And they join us now courtesy of the John Schuster Coal Banker Hotline. Gentlemen, how you doing this evening?
Very good, Henry. Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Henry. We appreciate it. Jeremy here.
Yeah, man. Hey, well, let's start with you, Jeremy. First off, tell me a little bit about Ignite Fights, because it sounds like you've been a part of the fight game for quite some time.
Yeah, this will be we've done over 120 shows. I think we're at, like, for MMA alone, we've done, like, 107. This is the 107th. We've been doing this since 2009. We've done Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, but mainly Minnesota. Canterbury is our home park. We've done over, I think, almost 30 shows there.
And you do both MMA and boxing, correct?
Yeah, we've done about 8 to 9 boxing, and we're doing a boxing show in May. But this one here is MMA and Muay Thai. MMA is really our bread and butter, and then Muay Thai is something that we're building up on the undercards, kind of to, you know, take its own branch someday, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this, Ozzie. I want to bring you in for a second. I'm already biased for you just because I found out a little bit earlier today that my buddy Caleb Truex is a guy that's in your corner and supports you. So that's some good vibes right there, my man.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. I've been working out with Caleb for probably, maybe going on 8 months now. Just, you know, working on some more of the boxing aspect of MMA, and it's really elevated my game quite a bit, and we became great friends over it as well.
Yeah, he's a really good dude. So I must ask you the same question I asked Jeremy, but this from you being a fighter. How long you been in the fight business and fight game?
I had my pro debut September of 2006.
Wow. You've been in it for a minute, man. How many people have you crushed?
My professional MMA record is 17 wins, 7 losses, 1 draw.
Okay.
I've also competed in professional Muay Thai, and I actually started doing tough man boxing, and that was in 2005. This will be my 42nd overall fight.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. Now, are you a native Minnesotan?
Yes, I am. Yep.
All right, that'll be another.
I grew up.
Go ahead.
Yeah, South Minneapolis and East Bloomington predominantly.
That's nice. That's nice. Jeremy, why is this show, this coming Saturday, with all the fights you have, why is this going to be a really great event for people to go out and support?
Oh, there's so many reasons. Like, we have a main event where we have someone from Eastern Europe who's 13-2 that'll be flying in to fight someone who just lost on the Ultimate Fighter, Austin Tweedy from Indianapolis. That's a national, international main event. Ozzy's going to be on the card fighting Hulk Hogan's nephew, David Belia, who's from Las Vegas, Nevada. He's 8-3. Ozzy's, even though he's not, you know, he's still a young man, he's willing to take on anyone out there. He found the toughest guy we could in his category.
Yeah, and I got to ask you this, and we're talking to Jeremy Bjornberg and also Ozzie Judge here on the Late Show on News Talk 830 WCCO. First off, for you, Jeremy, why is the MMA community, why is it continuing to expand?
You know, a lot of it's to get into the boring part. Amateur boxing isn't really an event that people go to or sell tickets to. It's a very cheap, lower-grade event. You're wearing headgear. You can't see the face. Amateur MMA is just like professional MMA, so you do it on the same card with professional, and the fighters get a chance to learn how to sell tickets, build a customer base, and you're able to do more events because you have more reliable ticket sellers. Minnesota boxing right now is really dead. There is a big event on Friday at Grand Hinckley Casino, but it's the first real local event in a long time. Whereas MMA, I mean, we're at Mystic three times a year and Canterbury three times a year just in Shakopee alone.
Yeah, I'm with you on the amateur part. I do think that in the professional ranks, boxing is starting to take off again. And the reason why I say this, because I've been tracking this and following, and I know the people from Premier Boxing Championships, PBC is real big, Al Heyman and all that, just because it seems like in the last year and a half to 2 years that boxing understands the momentum from MMA has been so massive and so big that boxing as a sport – they have to make better fights, right? Like you, people want to see Terrence Crawford face Errol Spence. I went to that fight. Now people want to see Terrence Crawford face Canelo. So in the fight game, you got to make the good fights, and that's something that like Dana White and the MMA community has done a better job at. What do you think, Jeremy?
For sure. You know, they haven't signed the exclusive contracts, and they're able they don't have the Muhammad Ali Act, which protects the boxers big time on the purses if they're a world champion. And that alone makes it a whole different ball game. It's going to be interesting because, you know, the UFC is getting into TKO boxing, you know, the parent company they're owned by. And Turkey, Alishik, is going to be quite involved. They're going to call it TKO boxing. And that's going to be, I've heard, you know, announced very soon where they're going to start a boxing division. And that's, you know, going to be big, I think, to see if their concept works in boxing.
Yeah. Hey, Ozzy, tell me a little bit about you as a fighter, man. Like you're part of the co-main event. What can I expect from you? Because when we talk about, you know, fighters both in MMA or in boxing, everybody's different, man. Everybody's got different personalities, right? Like, are you a trash talker, or you got kind of a, you know, I'm very calm, I'm composed. Are you more of a boxer, or are you more of a wrestler and grappler? Tell me a little bit about you and your style.
Well, I'm a blue collar guy. You know, I've been doing concrete work for, you know, over 25 years now, through the Labor's Local 563 in Minneapolis. And so, you know, it's just, you know, I kind of have a blue collar, you know, attitude towards it. Just get up every morning, work out, you know, I go to work. After work, I work out. And that's kind of how I am, you know, in the fight, too. I just have a real blue collar attitude towards it. I'm just going to fight and do my job and see it through until it's done. I don't trash talk or anything. I don't need to. I really enjoy fighting. So I don't need to hype myself up or anything like that. And I've built quite a fan base over the last 20 years. I think it's because, you know, I am a personable person. I use a shovel and stuff during the day. And then I'm very entertaining when I fight. You know, it's always a dog fight when I'm in there.
Yeah. No, I like that, man. You seem like a very laid back and just a mellow guy and just a personable person. I really do appreciate that. Hey, Jeremy, tell me a little bit about the setup there at Canterbury Park in the event center. I've been to Canterbury Park for years, right? I go out there. I've done times where I've actually hosted in terms of talking about the horses and giving out picks and handicapping and stuff like that. And I'm really cool with Jeff Madej and the Samsons. So I go to Canterbury Park. I'm very familiar, but I've never actually been in the event center, and it sounds really, really cool. I know they built it like 12 years ago.
Yes, basically it's a 20,000 square foot room, wide open. We set it up really nice. We rent a huge projector to shoot on the wall. There's already TV screens on the other side, but we have a huge, I think it's like 20 by 40 projection screen, and then we bring in bleachers that hold 1,200 people in there as well, so that everyone has a great seat in there. If you want to come, like I said, let me know your group. We'll have you sit in row one, you know, cage side. You'll be able to spill your beer on the cage if need be.
I hear you, man. I hear you. Well, for the listening audience, for people that are listening right now, and they're like, man, it sounds pretty cool. They like Ozzy because they hear that he's just a guy that just, he puts his hard hat on, he gets to work, and he enjoys fighting, and they like that you're putting on this fight. For people out there, and they want more information, how can they get tickets?
Go to NitroTickets.com. That's NitroTickets.com. And we'll also be on pay-per-view at SpectationSports.com.
Oh, wow. It's going to be on pay-per-view, too? That's pretty awesome, man.
Yeah, you know, we've really stepped that up the last few years. And the quality of production and what we put into it, the camera work, like I said, I think that we put on, you know, we try to put on the best show we can in Minnesota, and Canterbury does their part to make it great, too.
For the people out there that may have heard a name or two of fighters that you've managed, Jeremy, who have you managed just so people can kind of get a feel?
Right now we got in the UFC, Quang Lee, Thomas Peterson. In the past, you know, plenty of guys that have fought, you know, big fights. Gerald Meerschaert, who has the most finishes in the UFC at 185. I've had a lot of young guys that fought in Bellator, stuff like that, like Mike Richmond. So I've been around a long time. Mike Richmond's now a BKFC champion. And so there's a lot of great fighters that came out of Minnesota that I was, you know, proud and happy to be able to work with. And most of them are local guys, although I have some guys that are out of state as well.
All right, for the people out there that just heard about you talking about the tickets at NitroTickets.com, about how many fights will be on the card?
That's the amazing part is we start at 1 p.m. because we put on 32 fights. There's going to be 12 Muay Thai and 20 MMA.
Wow.
Ozzy can tell you it's a long night. Yeah, Ozzy doesn't like to sit very late either. So.
That's bang for your buck right there.
Yeah, for sure. And our goal is to build the community, the fight community, and make sure that everyone gets a chance that might be able to move up the ladder or just achieve their dreams if that's what their goals are.
Yeah. Ozzy, I'm going to let you have the final word, my man, for all of those people out there listening that are like, man, this Ozzy Judge guy, he sounds pretty cool. What can they expect when they see you fight as part of the co-main event?
It's going to be a great atmosphere. Like I said, I mean, you know, there'll be the Ozzy chant. You know, there's usually hundreds or over 1,000 people chanting. You know, it's going to be a great atmosphere. And I like to finish fights. You know, I go into the cage and, you know, I don't feel like I'm winning if the guy's still standing.
I like it. Well, Ozzy, man, hey, good luck this coming Saturday. I hope to be in attendance. Jeremy, I'll definitely hit you up. And I appreciate you coming on the show tonight to talk about the great things that you guys got going on at Canterbury Park with Ignite Fights. I appreciate it, my man.
All right, thanks, man. Thanks for the time, and have a great day.
All right, take care. All right, that's awesome, man. I don't know about you, Chris, but I've never really asked you this. Are you a big MMA guy? Because you're a wrestling guy. You enjoy wrestling, and when I say wrestling, I'm talking about like Raw and all of that stuff.
Yeah, we're talking the real stuff.
The real stuff. Are you an MMA guy?
Yes, love MMA too.
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, this should be fun.
I've been to Bellator, mm-hmm. but I've never
been to Bellator.
I've never been to UFC.
Really?
Yeah, and it's funny when he was talking about, you know, TKO coming up with a boxing division. That's going to be very interesting to watch in the sense that TKO and Endeavor, they bought WWE from the McMahons, but they've also bought UFC from Dana White. So now, if you add boxing to that, you basically got the three pillars of that genre. Oh, I love it. I mean, going back to the Ken Shamrock, Hoist Gracie, Dan Severn days. Oh, yeah. All the way through. Love it. Love it.
Yep. Thanks again to Jeremy Bjornberg and also Ozzy Judge for joining us here on The Lake Show. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get to Bite of the Night. That's next.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Bite of the Night involves NBA player Austin Reeves from the LA Lakers. The LA Lakers have been in the spotlight clearly for the last week, not just because LeBron James is amazing, but because of the big trade that they made with the Dallas Mavericks and Luka Doncic and all that. So now the Lakers are just kind of like flying high in and getting all the attention. Well, Austin Reeves, they played last night, and they beat Utah, I believe. Yep, that's who they beat, because they crushed Utah. And Austin Reeves is doing, like, the post-game interview. And in the midst of this interview, because there's always going to be a word or two that somebody throws at you, and you're not really sure how to tackle the word, or maybe you're not really sure what all it means or encompasses or whatever. Well, that actually happened to Austin Reeves last night, and – Well, just take a listen.
Austin, just as like a basketball aficionado, was there a part of
a what?
Helping your vocab tonight, aficionado.
What's that?
A fan. Big fan. Someone who appreciates the game of basketball,
right? I
didn't
know that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This is something seeing Luka's game up close and personal that you appreciate even more.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I don't know what word you just said.
He didn't know what aficionado was.
I think he wanted to use it in a sense, but didn't know.
It's all good, though. It happens to the best of us. That was funny, though. That was pretty funny. Like, play it one more time. Play it one more. Because he was genuinely, he was like, huh, what's that?
Yeah, he really didn't know.
Austin, just as like a basketball aficionado, was there a part of
a what?
Helping your vocab tonight, aficionado.
What's that?
A fan. Big fan. Someone who appreciates the game of basketball,
right? I didn't
know
that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This is something seeing Luka's game up close and personal that you appreciate even more.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I don't know what you just said.
He's like, I'm a big fan. I don't know about all the fancy words you're throwing at me right now, but yeah, I'm a fan. I'm a fan.
This kind of takes me back to wrestling. You're an aficionado.
What?
A fan.
What?
A big fan.
What?
I like it.
What?
I love it.
That was good. Man.
What?
That was funny. I love it though.
He didn't
fake the funk.
No,
like, what?
He did.
And
that's the thing. It's like, you're like, how do you not know what an aficionado is? And I feel like at the end, he really wanted to.
But we use the word a lot like that?
Well, I don't hear it a lot, but I mean,
I'm talking about in general.
I think
he's a younger guy.
Yeah, well, I mean.
How old is he?
Oh, I don't know.
22?
I mean, his second year in the NBA?
He could be 24.
I think it's his second year.
He's 26.
Is he really?
Wow.
Okay, yeah.
He's been in the league a couple years.
Oh, has he? Okay.
This is probably his fourth year in the league. Remember, third or fourth, because remember, he was part of the USA basketball bit, too, a couple years ago.
Yeah, okay. Maybe it's just that I'm thinking the last couple years is when he's just kind of gotten a little bit more run. But, I mean, if you're old enough to rent a car, you're old enough to know what the word aficionado is. I mean, I think I knew what an aficionado was. I mean, there are a lot of words that I don't know. Don't get me wrong.
No, me too.
There's a lot of words that I don't know.
But he clearly doesn't use it.
No. And I love it.
Like, what's a similar word that you use?
What's similar to aficionado?
No, I'm just saying, just in general. Like in the way of, like, describing something.
I like to use the word. You're talking about a word that I like to use?
Yeah, that can, like.
I like to use the word idiosyncrasy.
Okay.
I like to use that one. That makes me sound smart.
Yeah, but I'm talking about like to describe someone. I would use like connoisseur, you know, which is kind of like that's almost like an expert judge of something.
Yeah, I would say expert. I wouldn't go too funky with it. I mean, an expert.
Oh, is connoisseur too high class for you?
Connoisseur, it sounds a little sounds a little bougie to me.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that sounds like you're either with like really expensive like pastries. Connoisseur. Yeah, three syllables. That's a little too much. You know, dumb it down for me. Expert's only two. See, yeah, connoisseur sounds like you're like wine and, you know, the really bougie things that you enjoy. I don't know what else could you use for aficionado other than expert? Text line might have to help out. Connoisseur, yeah.
I'm just saying. I love it. I just love the how authentic he was. He was like, what? Say it again? That's cool.
Okay, authority.
And you could tell that him and the writer, they got a good rapport.
Oh, yeah. I felt like that was Alan Roach asking the question. I mean, he had that deep voice. He had that deep voice. He had it. All right, so you can be a savant. You can be an appreciator.
Oh, a savant, yeah.
One of the cognoscenti? Cognoscenti? I don't even know if that's a thing. It must be a silent G. C-O-G-N-O-S-C-E-N-T-I. I don't even know what that is. See, now I'm getting...
Now you're just looking up words. For
Yeah. I feel like... There's this wrestler, Nick Bockwinkel. He used to...
Who?
Nick Bockwinkel. Yeah. What?
I'm joking.
He used to look up a word a day, and he would intentionally use that to insult people in his promos. He would look up like one word a day that would sound like really extravagant, and I should do that. But the problem is I would use it wrong, and somebody would turn it back around on me and insult me, and I'd be like,
and attack.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah. All right, 651-461-9226. We'll take a break, and coming up next, we heard about it yesterday that the arbitrators ruled in favor of Mark Lurie and Alex Rodriguez as opposed to Glenn Taylor. We're going to talk to Chris Hine from the Minnesota Star Tribune. He covers the Minnesota Timberwolves. He's the beat writer. He joins us next year on The Lake Show.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
It's 2 degrees out. It's the heart of winter time. And Chris Hine is out there bumping some Mariah Carey. He's in the zone right now. He joins us now here, courtesy of the John Schuster Coal Banker Hotline. Chris Hine, how you doing?
I'm good, Henry. How you doing?
This is good. This is a banger right here. Turn it up for a second, Chris Tubbs. Is this not a banger, Chris Hine?
It is. It is. It wasn't even one of her biggest hits. That's from 1992. That was Make It Happen. Probably not one of the songs people know her by today, but it is a certified banger. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a certified banger. It absolutely is. All right. Hey, Chris, always fun to have you on the show, man. You can rock and roll with the best of them. Yesterday, we hear the word, arbitrator, they spoke. All three, and they sided 2-1 for Mark Lurie, Alex Rodriguez, against Glenn Taylor, saying that, look, we've looked at this, we've evaluated it, and yes, we side with Lurie and A-Rod. What did you make of the result of that? Because I don't think anybody really knew, because nothing was really trickling out. I don't know if the judges said, hey, you guys better not say a peep, but we were anticipating the day coming, and now that we know where the arbitrators stand on this, what do you think is the next step? Do you think that the current owner, because he's still the current owner, Glenn Taylor, is going to try to appeal or not appeal this to arbitrators because he can't do that, but try to take this somewhere else?
We just put up a piece on StarTribune.com. I'd recommend people going to read that, which is literally what happens next now that Glenn Taylor and Alex Rodriguez have won arbitration. And it is very difficult to appeal something like this. Our Jeff Day did a lot of research into this. And to appeal or try to get this wiped out or however you want to term it for Glenn Taylor would be a very, very difficult thing to do. So by all intents and purposes, this arbitration ruling is going to stand. So what's going to happen next is Mark Lurie and Alex Rodriguez will be going to the NBA to continue the process of purchasing a controlling interest of the Timberwolves, and pending league approval, they will become the majority owners. And we don't know quite yet what the timeline is on that process, but that is the next steps in this process.
Has there been any... Well, I know they put out a statement, but I guess what would you say has been the general initial reaction by Lurie and A-Rod?
They're obviously very happy. A year ago when this happened, they professed to fight this as much as they could. You know, they were adamant and determined to own the Timberwolves. I think this is something they've both really wanted for a long time, become, you know, ingrained in the community here in Minnesota. And so for this arbitration panel to vindicate them, their point of view, their reading of the contract, I think was a very big moment for both of them, and one that, you know, was a long time coming. They had to have a lot of patience, but, you know, in the end, they prevailed.
Yeah, we're talking to Chris Hine, beat writer for the Minnesota Star Tribune, covers the Minnesota Timberwolves here on the Lake Show News Talk 830 WCCO. Latest article just posted less than 2 hours ago. What's next for the Timberwolves now that Mark Lurie, Alex Rodriguez have won in arbitration? Let me ask you this. Is there any potential road bumps to them getting approval by the NBA? And the reason why I ask it in this way is it's one thing to have a lot of money, but then it's also a different thing to have a lot of money to own a professional sports franchise, whether it's in the NHL, whether it's in the NFL, whether it's the NBA. And look, it's, you can have people that support you and part of having your back like a Michael Bloomberg, but you have to actually have the, like having Michael Bloomberg assist you is one thing, but I don't think that the owners factor that in terms of like you having the majority ownership part, right?
I'm not going to profess to know exactly what the NBA is looking for in this process or how it's going to go down. I did read something from Sportico earlier, and they were not expecting this to be a difficult process in terms of the approval.
Okay.
So, you know, that's all I have for you on that front. I don't know exactly what the league is going to be looking for or how this is going to go down. I mean, most of the time, the league essentially is rubber stamping these things. You know, there's not a ton that goes into, you know, putting up resistance or opposition. So, I'm not 100% certain as to how the process exactly goes down.
What do you think has been the general public's take on Glenn Taylor here the last few years? And I ask that because I think that I'm an outlier with Glenn Taylor. I love the Timberwolves. It's my favorite team. I have season tickets. I'm invested like a lot of other people out there. And Glenn Taylor has not been the most successful owner, as we all know. But I'm not as down on Glenn Taylor as an owner as a lot of other people. Look, has he had people running his organization that haven't been very good? Yes. Has he had a bad run after Flip Saunders died with coaches? Yes. But I'm not as bitter and upset with him like a lot of other people, because he could have easily been like some other owners throughout the years that wouldn't throw a lot of money at trying to solve problems or upgrade the roster. He spent a lot of money in this organization as the owner.
He did. You know, I get the frustration because it was such a long time where this organization, before I got here, you know, this organization was just treading water at the bottom of the NBA, trying to stay afloat, right? And
yep,
hoping for miracle after miracle to happen, turnaround after turnaround, regime after regime coming through. So I get the frustration that, you know, for however long it was, 15, almost 20 years,
yeah,
you could never quite get it right, right? That's such a long time, that's generations to go through, you know, without seeing the playoffs, without sniffing contention. I think of late, you know, in the last couple of years here, as things started to turn around and Mark Lurie and Alex Rodriguez came aboard and they went out and got Tim Connelly, you know, Glenn never got in the way of what they wanted to do there. He's paid the luxury tax this year. You know, so as it pertains to the last couple of years, he hasn't gotten in the way of you know, this team becoming a contender. And, you know, before, you know, things turned south in their relationship, there was a seemingly collaborative process between Lurie, Rodriguez, and Taylor. They went out and got Tim Connelly, but Glenn signed off on it and, you know, signed off on the deal. And so I think, you know, from that end of things, you give him credit for the last couple of years, but I do certainly understand the frustration of a long, long time.
Yeah.
Before getting to this point.
Any idea on how this specific ownership could go about their business? And what I mean by that is Glenn Taylor is a businessman. He didn't meddle. He's not a Jerry Jones type. He just kind of is in the background, right? Do we have any indications or idea of how Lurie and A-Rod would want to kind of like proceed? Because I could see A-Rod being one of those guys that's, I don't want to say he's like Mark Cuban, but, you know, kind of the face of things.
Well, I think, you know, with Mark and Alex and getting to know them over the last couple of years, they're obviously, very plugged into the team, the specifics of the team, the specifics of the roster. You know, you see them at all the games. Like, they're very much into the minutiae and getting to know the personnel, you know, who's and what they're good at, what they're not good at. Like, they're very in tune, I guess that is what I would say, with the team. Glenn might be more hands off in that regard, and you know, maybe not as, what's the word I want? But Mark and Alex are just very into the team, the way, like, almost like a diehard fan would be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that sort of intensity with knowing the roster. And
kind of like Ballmer.
And, you know, kind of like living and dying with each game and getting really emotional when a team does well and, you know, amped up and things like that. And Glenn was always very more reserved and, you know, and things like that. So I think that's probably the difference there. And I don't think that they're, you know, certainly they're the owners of the team. They're not afraid to offer their opinions here and there. So I think that's probably the difference is, I think, you know, Mark and Alex might be more just very engaged with, you know, the personnel of the team in that way.
All right. We're talking to Chris Hine, Minnesota Star Tribune, joining us here on The Lake Show on News Talk 830 WCCO. A couple of final things for Chris. One thing that I could see after everything goes through, because I think that we all anticipate that this will end up in the hands of Lori and A-Rod. One thing that I could see happening is people start talking about a new arena, right? Like new digs. And I believe that Target Center in the NBA, is that the second oldest arena? I think it might be the second oldest.
I heard that. Yeah, it might be the second oldest, something like that. Yeah.
So, and it just, I've said this for the last, I don't know how many years. It's time. Like everything has an expiration date. It's time for the Wolves to get a new facility. I'm totally on board with that. But one thing that I think strategically, A-Rod and Lori cannot do, they cannot look to pitch a new arena to all the people here in Minnesota, and once they acquire majority ownership, scale back on the payroll. I just don't think that that's going to be something that's sellable to fans. People want to know that this organization, exactly with Anthony Edwards as the face of the franchise, that they are going to continue to surround him with pieces, that they will remain possibly in the luxury tax, any word or thinking or thoughts about where they could go payroll wise?
I addressed that in the piece that's up there right now.
Okay.
I think that when they make the Rudy Gobert trade 2 years ago, they made it knowing that that was going to push them into the luxury tax when they became controlling owners of the franchise, right? So this was a move 2 years ago that force this timeline forward of when the Wolves were going to be contenders and therefore paying the luxury tax, right? So I don't think as owners, and businessmen, you don't sign off on a move like that unless you know that you're going to be willing and able to pay the tax that goes along with it, right? Now, words are words. You will see ultimately what the actions are, right? But I think that was an indication 2 years ago that they are willing to spend. And Mark Lori has been on the record with me about that he's got hundreds of millions of dollars ready to invest in the team to try to win a championship, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he has said that. Again, words are words, actions are actions. But all the indications are is that they are willing to do that. Now, when you go back and look at the Karl-Anthony Towns trade, a popular refrain at the time was that this was ownership looking to cut costs, right?
Yep.
Well, I would say the Wolves are right now a second apron team in the NBA. And if you're not familiar with what that means to be a second apron team, like every other NBA franchise who is realizing the ramifications of being a second apron team on their future success. And so you're seeing now that the Wolves have made moves over the last couple of cycles here, whether it be the Towns trade, whether it be signing Rudy Gobert to an extension where he takes a big discount on what he was owed next year to try to help them get under the second apron while retaining guys like Naz Reid and Nickeil Alexander-Walker. So, you know, there are certain moves that they may make, and you'll be scratching your head and being like, oh, well, they're trying to cut payroll here. Well, in a way, they're also trying to duck under the second apron and avoid the lack of flexibility and roster maneuvers that won't be at their disposal should they stay above a certain threshold. So it's a very complicated thing, and it's not a black and white picture when you see some of the moves that they've made recently and that they may make into the future here.
Hey, Chris, you know you're my guy, but I need one final favor from you.
Yep.
I need an autographed copy of Ant, The Incredible Journey of NBA Rising Star Anthony Edwards. Congratulations, man. The book is available now. Congrats, man. How's that been?
Thank you. It's been surreal to see it up for sale and people buying it and sending me screenshots of their receipts and this and that. It's very cool. It's due out in early June right now, but you could, like you said, order anywhere books are sold for pre-sale. Very excited to get that out into the world. Worked on it really hard in the summer and the fall. Very surreal, and be happy to drop one off at the studio for you.
I'm telling you, man, I need that hardcover. I need it autographed, bro.
We will get you it.
That's kind of like one of my things. I'm a collector. Like, I got like game worn, like tennis shoes. I've got football. Some people. I've got autographed baseballs from like Harmon Killebrew and Kirby Puck and stuff like that. I value my books too, though. I need that autographed copy from Chris Hine, man. Congratulations
Absolutely.
Again.
Thank you. I'm hoping everybody looks at it as a collector's item at the very least. You don't even have to read it. Just buy it as a collector's item. Put it on a shelf somewhere. That's all I need. Just give us your money. That's all.
I hear you, man. All right. Well, I appreciate you being on the show, my friend.
Thanks, Henry. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care. That's Chris Hine. Check out his fine work and his latest story that he just posted a couple hours ago with Jeff Day. What's next for the Timberwolves now that Mark Laurie, Alex Rodriguez won in arbitration? All right, so we will take a break. We're probably short on time for headlines, so we'll bump that to a little bit later in the show. But the final segment of the second hour coming up next. I guess, Chris, how do you look at Glenn Taylor? Because, look, he has to own, as the owner, the losing and all that stuff, right? Like, he has to wear that. I thought there was some great perspective and insight earlier today with Chad Harbin. Definitely check out Chad. He had John Krasinski on from The Athletic. They had a great conversation, and Chad took a lot of people behind the curtain. And I thought it was awesome at just, you know, like stuff that Flip Saunders did with the organization that didn't really put the organization in the greatest position. I think it's must listen to on the podcast. Check out that segment, John Krasinski with Chad Hartman. I was riveted by the conversation, but I don't look at Glenn Taylor the same way that most people do. I look at Glenn Taylor as an owner that didn't get this team to be a winner for the majority of the time that he's been the owner, that they've been pretty much a loser. They had some highs going to two Western Conference finals, once against the Lakers, the other time last year against the Mavericks, and ultimately fell short of going to the finals. But more than anything, I look at him as the man that saved the NBA in Minnesota. That's how I view Glenn Taylor. So I'm never going to – and look – we can feel a certain way about the Kevin Garnett stuff. Some of that's on Kevin Garnett. Some of it's on Glenn. Ultimately, my view of Glenn Taylor is more favorable than most because he was not a meddling owner. He's a native Minnesotan that said, I want to keep the NBA here in Minnesota.
I think he had good intentions. I mean, maybe just as they say, good idea, bad execution. And, you know, sometimes you hire the wrong people or you put the wrong people, they make the wrong decisions. And ultimately, yeah, as the owner, it's always going to come back on you.
Absolutely.
And you're right. He did save the team from relocating to New Orleans in 1994. But then you look at all of the ineptitude with all of the decisions, and I feel like fans, they get caught up in, my God, Glenn Taylor, you just – one thing I can say about Glenn Taylor, for all of his misgivings, at least he was committed to the team. And he wanted – I believe that he really wanted this team to win. I don't think he looked at it as like a business expense. I feel like he genuinely That was his baby. And I have to appreciate that. But I do understand fans where, I mean, there's a lot of unknown with A-Rod and Mark Lowry, and that's exciting. But it's also, it's nerve-wracking because you kind of know what's coming up. And you don't want to have to deal with it because we've already been through it with other franchises.
I would say to the fans out there that just absolutely want to clobber Glenn Taylor. What has Ballmer and the Clippers won? What have they won? Nothing. Ever since Michael Jordan left the Chicago Bulls, what have they won? Nothing. Like, there are certain organizations that have gotten it done, but man, there's a lot of organizations that just haven't been able to accomplish the ultimate prize and goal. All right, Jack, coming up next, a team in the Dallas Mavericks, their fan base, they've lost it. They're being totally ridiculous post-Luka. We'll get to that next.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.